Start your engines. Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Now here's your host, Dante Marcatelli.
Oh, Magic fans, hang on, turn up the radio, relax, listen. We're going to try to have a therapy session. That was a tough one last night. A heartbreaker at the Amway Center as the Magic fall to the Denver Nuggets in overtime, 124 to 118. We have thoughts. We have questions. We have a lot we want to get to, and we will do that coming up in the next segment, but we don't want to waste any time. We're always pleased when we can get this gentleman on the line. He is Magic General Manager John Hammond, and we're going to get right to it. Magic will be next in action against the Indiana Pacers on Friday, and Magic fans, don't miss out on Classic Nights during the 30th anniversary season presented by Florida Hospital. Each Classic Night will feature unique entertainment, music, videos, and more. Get your tickets at Classic Nights now at OrlandoMagic.com. And what do you say we take a closer look at last night's game and get an update on where this Magic team sits here 25 games into the season? And we will do so with the general manager of the Orlando Magic, John Hammond, kind enough to give us a few minutes here. John, how you doing today?
Doing great, Dante. Thanks so much.
All right. Are you enjoying the little bit of a break in the weather the last couple of days? This is quite lovely, I find it.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. I walked into Starbucks this morning, and as I was walking in, I saw people walking around with like a great sense of energy about them. You know, I think that they're like, man, hey, a little cool weather like this. Wow, this is what a nice change. And yeah, it's great. Love it.
I tell you what, yeah, exactly. We love Central Florida, as I know you do as well. But it's we work hard to get this little break. Breaking the weather, and we're excited about it. You're right; a little bit of a pep in our step. All right, John, we'll give us your thoughts on last night's contest. I'm sure you were as well. We were just awfully proud of this group with the way the schedule had been the last couple of weeks, and on a back to back, and how hard they fought to win that game last night. I thought Coach Clifford handled everything perfectly post game, but just give us your thoughts on your group, how hard they battled last night, and how tough it was to see that one get away in overtime.
Yeah, you know, Dante, if you don't mind, if I could even just, you know, go back to say that, you know, going on that West Coast swing that we had, the five games, and you come back and you play at Miami, which is a six straight road game.
Right.
And, you know, if you'd have told me going into those six straight road games that we're going to be 3-3 at the end of those, I would have taken that all day long. And obviously, as I know, we all know that, you know, another break here or there, and we could have maybe been even better than 3-3. Maybe we could have been 4-2, or maybe, who knows, 5-1. But you know, we gave ourselves opportunity. But now you move forward into last night's game, and you say, okay, here we come off a five-game West Coast trip, home for a day or so, and then head right to Miami, play a road game. And then we kept looking at the schedule saying, oh, by the way, then we have Denver at home on a back-to-back.
Right.
I mean, you know, you talk about the difficulty of that schedule, and like, it is a part of the NBA. We're not the only team. Every team in the league goes through these sort of things in their schedule. So it is what it is. But I mean, I thought what our guys did last night from an effort level and energy level to come out and play against a team like Denver, who had played, think about how well they're playing at this point. And also think what they did to us in that first game of that five game trip,
yes,
West Coast swing was in Denver, and how they just kind of manhandled us, and you can almost say toyed with us a little bit. So I thought our guys came back with a great character and said, look, this is not – that game is not who we were. We're better than that. We're going to show you that. And then, you know, to have an overtime game and play with that, as I said, that effort, couldn't be any more proud of the guys. The only thing you want to do is, you know, take a W out of it, but you know, give the guys a lot of credit.
No, you're absolutely right. That's a great breakdown, and you have to be proud of where this team is headed and what they've done and what they've been able to accomplish. And would have been good to get that one, put themselves in position, certainly going in overtime, a big three by Terrence Ross. I know a lot was made about the officiating, John, last night. The free throw discrepancy, 37-8. And again, I thought Coach Cliff handled that perfectly. You know, the team struggled with the high pick and roll, and obviously a lot of reasons for that. That's a very good team, maybe the best in the league at that, and with all the reasons you just mentioned with that schedule. But just lay out where you thought that it was a pretty big discrepancy, but, you know, not saying that was the factor in the outcome of the game, but how did you view how it was officiated last night?
Well, you know, you see a discrepancy of 37-8.
Right.
That's concerning. I mean, look, I don't think it's unfair to anybody to make a statement like that. I think that you know, you look and you say, going into that game, you're playing the Denver Nuggets, and they're number one in the NBA getting to the line. They're not. They're I think 15th, right? I think they're right in the middle of the league in their ability to get to the free throw line. And then you look right at our team and say, well, we just foul a lot. We're one of those teams that foul a lot. We don't. I think we're fifth in the league in foul rate efficiency. So I mean, you can start looking at factors and say, like, how could something like that happen? Well, you go the night before and say, well, you know, we played in Miami and we shot 20 free throws. They shot 5.
Yeah, right.
You know, but once again, that discrepancy, the fact that we didn't get to the free throw line, I think, until like almost midway through the third quarter of the game.
Correct.
And so, look, it is what it is. The game is over now, you know, but just for discussion's sake, I think you do say, yeah, it's something that, you know, you hope that does not become a habit with your team. It hasn't been. So you say maybe some kind of anomaly that just occurred last night, but it's the thing that's so hard to see that happen like that is that the effort that our guys played with and the kind of game it turned out to be. You know, if all of a sudden it's 37-8 and you lose by 20, like, okay, you know, whatever. You know, we were just that bad. But we played extremely well, had a chance to win that game. It could have, should have won that game, and that's where that discrepancy just becomes a discussion point.
Yeah, it sure does. It becomes a killer. And you're right, to your point, Denver Nuggets 21st in the NBA in free throw attempts per game, just over 20
okay.
a game. And yeah, so you're right. You're right, about a little even further back than middle of the pack, and at 21 a game, and you get 37. So speaking with Magic General Manager John Hammond, and I thought it was interesting, and, you know, I don't know how much you can touch on this or not, John, but, you know, the technicals that were picked up by Evan Fournier and Nick Vucevic, and I thought they were, you know, heat of the moment, and I don't know, you know, my opinion is they weren't more aggressive than Jamal Murray was, who did not get a technical. But regardless of that, I thought it was interesting, Evan Fournier's comments after the game. He said, we're one of the teams that doesn't complain. And I thought that's a very good point. They don't get to the line, the fewest free throw attempts per game in the NBA. And I think for the most part, John, your guys don't complain. They're not known as a group that gets on officials. And I think that's to their credit.
Well, I think it speaks for, you know, who they are as a team. You know, I no one questions the character of the guys on this roster. We have good guys. You know, I think Steve Clifford would tell you that you know, it's a really good group of people to coach. They come to work every day. They don't complain. And I think the carryover to that is what Evan's talking about, I think their kind of character shows on the floor as well, that they're not a team that complains. They're not a team where, you know, we don't have guys, you know, Booch is a guy, you know, you never see him getting in an official's face,
right,
you know, and curse him and yell at him. And Evan's the same way. So yeah, once again, you hate to see something like that happen for guys. I think that have, I think, respect for the game and have respect for officials also.
Yeah, no, they certainly do. They certainly do, John. Well, just as far as last night's game goes, this has been a resilient group all year, John, and you would expect that they would come out Friday night and be ready to go and put this one behind them, have a day to rest here today. But just give us your thoughts on where you think this team is 25 games in and kind of the fight that they've shown you. I know we're all pretty proud and pretty impressed with this 6-game road trip they just finished.
Well, yeah. No doubt, you know, and I think that our guys are putting forth a good, consistent effort every night. And I think that our coaches are doing a great job in preparing them. So, you know, you give, after 25 games, you look and you say, you give our guys a lot of credit, you give our coaching staff a lot of credit. And, you know, Dante, I wouldn't say, oh my gosh, we're this, you know, overachieving team.
Sure.
We're
sure.
Not that. I think, you know, we're kind of where we need to be, where we'd hope we could be. Hopefully, you know, you always want to have a better record. Every team does. But, you know, I'm not going to wait as I make this comment, but I think the fact that, you know, our good health has been a great opportunity for us too. You know, for the most part, we've had a healthy roster. And when you have a healthy roster, you have a chance to compete most nights, night in and night out. So, you know, besides Jonathan Isaac's ankle woes, and he's back now, which is great, and once again, knock on wood again to say that he remains healthy, but I think if our team can remain healthy and put forth the kind of energy that we're playing with and play with the continued kind of effort, we know we're going to be prepared. We know we're going to compete every night, that we'll have a chance to continue to be this and hopefully be in this playoff hunt.
Well, you know, it's interesting, John, and you're right, but, you know, a lot of fans are watching and they kind of wait a little bit to see what kind of team it's going to be. You're now 25 games in. In your opinion, is because of what you mentioned, the coaching staff and the preparation that they get night in and night out and how badly they want to win and be in games. Do you think this is the kind of effort, is this the kind of team and the effort that we're going to see from this group for the rest of the year?
There's no reason it shouldn't be. You know, I kind of put it in the order of you right. know, why I think that we're playing was because of the players.
Sure.
Our guys are putting forth a great effort. You know, I think they're trying to play together as a team. They're trying to support each other. They're trying to care about each other. And then you give the coaches credit with that as well. But, I mean, I think, you know, this is a players' league, and you always start with the players first. And then I know that our coaching staff is, you know, like Steve Clifford has done a great job, and his staff have done a great job as well. So, look, I'll say this, Dante. If we stay healthy, there's no reason we can't continue at this pace, and I think even become better. Because
fantastic.
I think also this, Dante, if you look and think, our schedule has not been an easy schedule. So we have one of the more difficult schedules at this point of the season. 82 games, it always equals itself out as you go through the 82. But thus far, we've also had a very difficult schedule.
Yeah, no, it sure has, especially with the travel, and you got some big trips coming up here. And John, you mentioned Jonathan Isaac, and I'd love to get your thoughts on him. He's now played 19 games this year, a career-high minutes played the other night in Miami, 32 points. I thought there's a couple of times, John, in hostile environments that he's not been rattled. He's made big plays. I look at a couple of baskets he made in Golden State. He made a big basket in Miami. He's really game-changing defensive plays a number of times throughout the season. So your thoughts on Jonathan now that we've had him 19 games here?
He's only scratching the surface. That's all he's doing, Dante. I mean, the guy has a chance to be a very, very good player. You know, I'd say if you're going to bet on someone, bet on a guy like that, because you start with the person, the guy's character. He has such great character that another guy that, you know, you talk about a great guy to coach, a great guy to be a teammate with. He wants to work for the coaches. He wants to please the coaches. He wants to work for his teammates. He wants to please his teammates, but make no mistake about it. He's not soft. And
right.
you know, you see this thin body and think, well, maybe he's a little bit soft. He's not. He's a tough guy. And as he continues to get older, you know, you think about him at all, you know, he's just 21 years old. And, just imagine who he's going to be in a couple, 3 years, 4 years from now. I think he's going to be a really special player in this league.
You know, it's interesting, John. I think that's a great point. You brought up the body and the frame, and I think also the smile. You know, you've got that combination, but he's not soft at all. You're exactly right. He's just a good kid, and he's got a great demeanor about him, but in no way are those two things indicative of the way this guy competes, is it?
Absolutely not. No, he's not afraid, and he's not afraid to go in there and mix it up. And once again, you know, I think he's doing what he's capable of doing right now with his frame as is. I mean, Dante, we still always talk about, you know, I think Jonathan grew an inch, maybe 2 inches.
That's incredible.
Since the day we drafted him, you know, he's like 6'9"-ish. Now he's basically a 7-footer, you know. And so, man, you talk about a body that's developing and he's working at it. And, you know, I know guys that work that hard, you know, there's going to be good results.
And I'm losing height, John, so I'm going the other way.
I think I have to do that. Both.
As far as last thing, and then I'll let you go, but you know, you got two guys that are playing unbelievable basketball right now, and Nick Vucevic and Terrence Ross, and I know they're, as you well know, they're free agents at the end of the year. As much as you can say or care to say, where are you with that? How do you approach that? Is that something you'll table to the end of the year, or where are you as far as those two are concerned?
Yeah, that's where we're at right now. You have to take it to the end of the season, and what you do is you support guys like that. You support that. And I think it's this funny situation, because you say as an organization, look, we may lose that guy, so let's play those guys a little bit less, or let's not showcase those guys, because why are we going to help them? You know, but I think, you know, if you run the organization the right way, you know, Jeff Weltman is a guy of high, high character himself. Not only a bright guy, but a very, very smart guy with great integrity, you know. And you know, the old theory is that if you continue to treat people the right way, good things are going to come back to you. So all this is happening is, I think, you know, we're treating Vooch the right way, and we're treating T. Ross the same way. But the great thing is, Dante, they're giving it all back to us as well.
Yes.
And some
yes,
people would say, well, you know what, is their free agent year, you know, that's why they're playing so hard. That's not the case. These guys have been who they are. They've not become out of character. They've stayed exactly what they represented themselves. So, look, that's our job is to get the very most out of them, and support them. And their job is to give us back everything they can. So that's all we can ask for.
Well, and you know what? And that's terrific insight. And I do appreciate the candor there. But isn't it, you know, when we get these young guys in the draft and we say it takes time, are Terrence Ross and Nick Vucevic not perfect examples of that? How many years in the league now? 7, 8 years. And now these guys are men. These guys have matured physically, mentally, and they're ready to perform.
You know, Dante, excuse me, someone asked me a few weeks ago, someone said, why do you think Vooch is playing at the level he's playing at right now? And Dante, it was like a day or two after his birthday that this question was asked to me. And I think that, hey, what is he, 27 or 28?
Just turned 28,
you know, and I remember saying to that person that, you know, Vooch had a birthday a couple of days ago and he turned 28. And I said, you know, like, you think about a player's career, and they talk about when players reach their maximum abilities. And, you know, now that age is a little lower now because guys are coming in at 18, 19 years old. Now right. Maybe their peaks are now like maybe 25, 26, some guys. But it always was. And a guy like Vooch, who I think played, say, 3 years in school, I believe.
Correct.
That you know, Vooch came in at 21, 22 years old. So, you know, all what Vooch has done, the answer, I'm sorry, to your question is basically the fact that, yeah, you're right. T. Ross and Vooch, those guys are reaching their peak, you know, and at 28 years old, there's a guy like Vooch. So, like, Jonathan is not going to take that long, you know,
because he's one of
the guys who did come in younger, but he's still only 21 years old, and Mo Bamba is just 20 years old. So, could you imagine Vooch at 20 when he came in this league playing what he's doing right now at 28? You know, we have to have that same kind of vision and thoughts about a guy like Jonathan Isaac, who we already talked about, and Mo Bamba. Who are they going to be? They're going to be special guys and special players.
All right, fantastic. John, I really appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight, as always, and we'll see you on Friday. Get back at it out there.
Thanks, Dante. Appreciate you.
Okay, you got it. He's terrific. General Manager John Hammond, kind enough to spend some time with us here. And we've got more to get to here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. A tough one last night. We'll get John Hammond's. We'll break down John Hammond's thoughts as well and weigh in, Aaron Berlin and I, when we return to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, here in just a moment.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
And welcome back to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Dante Marcatelli here with you. Our producer is Aaron Berlin. We got about 4 minutes left, and we got a lot to cover, so we're going to get right to it. Special thanks to General Manager John Hammond. Some terrific comments. Aaron, you could sit there and talk about the officiating for 30 minutes or for an hour.
We could talk about it for an hour, Dante.
Yeah, we could. But I don't think it makes sense to do that with the general manager when you got so many other topics to get into. So we got his comments, and he's right. It's concerning. 37-8 was absolutely concerning, the free throw discrepancy last night. You can go back and forth on whether that cost them the game or not. I think Coach Cliff is right. You couldn't defend the high pick and roll. There were 9 straight possessions, end of the third, start of the fourth, where they scored on every single possession, and that was tough. And the Magic were yet right there and were able to force overtime. To me, the most egregious thing was missing the out-of-bounds play.
Absolutely.
In overtime. 24 seconds left. You have a 3-point deficit for the Magic, and both feet were out of bounds. You didn't miss it once. You missed it twice. He stepped out of bounds twice. And it was only for the folks in the control room showing it in the arena was the only way that anyone knew. I thought that was a huge oversight. They missed it. And, you know, you don't know. You don't know if they're going to go down and make a three. They were 0 of 6 from distance in overtime, just 1 of 9 in the extra session. So maybe it wouldn't have mattered at all. But still, we'll never know. They never had that chance.
Well, and the thing is, you have to remember that it's a chain reaction, right? So they miss that call. That leads to a Nick Vucevic foul, which then leads to free throws, which then makes it a two-possession ball game. And at that point, you just never have an opportunity. And, you know, the ref's whole job is to get the game right, and they're watching those things with a watchful eye. And to me, to miss something like that in that kind of moment, it's almost inexcusable.
And it's not like he was out of position. C.J. Washington was standing on the baseline, and that happened literally right in front of him. There literally could not be anything else he was watching other than that. But anyway, he missed it. It happens. Officials make mistakes. I think the other thing that is really starting to bother me is the texts that are mounting for Evan Fournier and Nick Vucevic. And I thought his comments were terrific, and I think John Hammond is exactly right. You've got high-character guys, quality guys. They show it on the floor. None of our guys show up officials. They get upset, and last night was an example of Evan and Vooch getting upset. But every game, Aaron, we watch someone from the opposing team. You talk about respect for the game. That's the phrase we hear when we sit in all these meetings, respect for the game. And yet you watch, I get LeBron James and Kevin Durant are going to scream and berate officials and not get called for a tech. They are the game. So whatever they want to do, I get it. That's going to happen. But when Jamal Murray lights up the official at the end of regulation and you do not tee him up, but you have such a quick trigger on Evan and Vooch on the other end, that I have a problem with.
And the problem is that it takes the player equation out of the game entirely, because then it's not an evenly called basketball game, and that's what we're out for, you know? And it completely takes the focus off the game, which is not okay.
Correct. And listen, it's small time to complain about officiating when you lose a game. I get that. There were missed calls and all that. And that's what I love about Coach Cliff is he has set the bar so high that we don't make excuses. Was he frustrated behind closed doors? Did he have a different view? Possibly. But he's right. The reason they lost the game was because they didn't have the energy on the defensive end to defend that high pick and roll. And that is the hardest team in the NBA to play when you come off the schedule and the trip that you just had 6 games on the road, a hard-fought battle in Miami against a scrappy Heat club, and then to come back and play a team that runs nothing but pick and rolls for 48 minutes, well, really 52 or 53 when you factor in overtime. So I'm proud of these guys. I thought they fought like heck, and you got to come out there on Friday and support them when they play a big game against the Indiana Pacers. Don't know if Oladipo will be in uniform or not. That'll do it for Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Aaron Berlin has you tomorrow right here at 6 o'clock on 96.9 The Game.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-4-3. Got it to go.
People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.